It's 8 minutes after the hour 5. Radio Veritas 576 AM is where you're at. It's that station that gives you the good news and the good music for a change. And a big thank you to Aretha Mahadi Buthelezi, who has been standing in for me. As you all know, this is a pre-record, and I'm thinking of you from where I am. And joining me in studio at the moment is Yena Kuboni, who is a financial wellness planner, and she is going to be our new resident financial wellness coach. And to Yena, thank you very much for accepting this challenge, and good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Father Brian. Good afternoon and welcome, to your listeners.
And welcome. And what are we talking about this afternoon?
This afternoon we're talking about property and owning, deciding whether you should buy a property or not, and is it an investment or is it an asset? Is it a liability, mm-hmm. or is it just a camouflage? Is it investment or asset expense,
mm-hmm.
or is it just a camouflage? Well, camouflage liability.
Okay, all
so
right, all
what
right.
do we do? What do we do? And what does the junk status mean in us just trying to decide whether we should buy property or not?
Okay, take us through. Is should a young person in their 30s and in their mid 20s be considering investing in property?
There's no real answer for that one. It also goes from person to person,
mm-hmm.
from that. But I just want to look to both the options. So yes, let's start with the no, because the negative.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not really a good plan, because one would say, because the banks have eventually sold us so a dream that a house is an investment. So you first buy a house and you under the impression that I'm investing,
mm-hmm.
only to find that for the 20 years that you are paying this bond,
mm-hmm.
you're actually the first 10 years, you're just paying interest. So you actually pay the actual amounts that you borrow, because a bond is basically money that you borrow from the bank that to buy the whatever property.
Mm-hmm.
So you, in essence, you end up paying almost three times as much as you actually what you actually borrowed after the 20 years.
Mm.
So no, it's not an investment.
So if the property was costing, say, 200 Rand, and if I'm going to have it on a bond, it means I'll pay it at 600.
Typically, that's how much you're going to be paying. Okay. So then you're thinking value for money, and then so you're thinking, and instead of the extra 100 Rand, what could you have done? So the opportunity cost.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that's why most people think you're paying interest of 400 Rand for something that's only 200 Rand. And chances are, when you do sell that property, because you are told you're going to sell it, obviously in a good price, and property is a good investment in terms of property will always appreciate. So
that's
if
correct.
You buy it today for 200 Rand, when you sell it, its value will be far more than 200 Rand.
Mm-hmm.
But how much more profit could you have made if you just bought it cash and didn't pay for 100 Rand of investment?
The problem is we don't have around that that amount of cash lying around.
Yes. So that's where people actually think about, rather maybe should I rent something more conservative, something more modest, and instead of buying a property, let's say for 500,000 and paying a bond of 5.5 a month, maybe let me rent somewhere for a cottage for 1.1 and save for the time, could be another option. And then that's where you think maybe it is an investment. So in essence, you can't say investment. So going back to just, let's say, finance 101, anything that you have that does not bring you money, it's not an investment. So
anything,
that's the first.
Anything you have that does not bring you liquid cash in.
Yeah, so there's no inflow of
cash
inflow. That's not an investment.
So it's a
For example, it's just an asset. If it's not an expense or a liability. So for example, I have a house right now, and I live in that house. That house is not an investment. It's just an asset, because I'm living in the house. I'm not getting any cash from it, which is why, number one, people have been making this noise about actually buying a house is not an investment. Because now if I'm living in this, there's no inflow. Yes, it's a good thing that I buy a house and that I'm owning it, because it's an asset that I have, but it's not really an investment. So it's only having property or properties only becomes an investment once you have the second one.
Once I have cash flow coming.
So when I have more than one, which means I can live in the other one, and I rent out that number two.
Yes.
But even number two, if it's paid up.
So that's when
it comes, because now, and that's where it comes, that's where the plan comes in.
Okay.
So looking at the two options, so one would say you rent and you actually the extra, because having a house, so looking at the disadvantage of buying property.
Mm-hmm.
So you buy property, you pay that bond, but mm-hmm. then people forget that owning a house, there's maintenance cost.
Mm.
Which you don't have to worry about when
if
you're
renting. Yeah, because then there's
rates. Yes,
yeah.
Mm. And then there's rates and there's levies if you're in a commune, which you don't have, and then which you don't have to worry about as well.
Mm.
So one would say rather rent for the same amount. So you and I are renting. You
yes.
stay in the same complex.
Yeah.
I'm paying a 5.5 bond. You're
mm-hmm.
paying rent.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously on top of that, I've got the rates. I've got the levies. So let's say that amounts to an extra 2,000 rand from what you are paying.
Mm.
So the argument is, you can actually, with that extra 2,000 rand, you can actually use it to invest in another investment vehicle, which probably will give you more returns. So there's many products, obviously, investment
of course.
Products.
Yeah.
And then you can actually have, whereas I'm having this 2,000 rand
yeah.
that I don't literally, I'm not really gaining.
Yeah, that you can't even touch, actually.
At the moment,
yeah.
yes. And I'm only paying the bond, which is just the bond.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's that interest that I told you about that I'm paying for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then that's where it is. So I always say, when it comes back to the question at bottom line,
mm-hmm.
you all always need to just look at you. So if you want, because then the other thing is that if you're going to move often, so if you're going to relocate,
yeah.
then buying a house is not going to work for you.
Because
then you must think about the transfer cost, then the furniture cost, that's the other cost that you wouldn't probably worry about if you are renting, and then there's bond registration cost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in the long run, what is better? I always say having to buy the property.
Tell us why.
So I say this because, first of all, the honest truth is that we're all human.
Yeah.
So yes, you're saying 2,000 rand. And if you look at the numbers,
mm-hmm.
if you going back to the example I just made.
Yeah.
So the extra 2,000 rand that you have in excess,
mm-hmm.
the honest truth is chances are instead of spending or saving of those 2,000 rand, you'll end up spending it. Because it's better to commit to something you know that I can't not pay my bond.
Mm.
So I will pay the 7,000 rand whether I like it or not.
Yeah.
With you, you only have to pay 5,000 rand to your landlord. The 2,000 rand, it's a voluntary investment.
Okay.
So we know with things that are voluntary, we as soon as things get tied up or whatever, feelings change.
Yeah.
And then we default and it's easy and no one's going to come back behind your back.
Mm-hmm.
So the argument that's going around right now in the country is that, but then...
With junk status.
Yeah, with the junk status.
Mm-hmm.
There's the whole, if you buy a property now,
mm-hmm.
should you buy it, should you not?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not.
Okay,
at
why?
At this moment. Because junk status means interest rates are high. So right now, if you're going to get a bond, you're probably going to pay more interest in terms of your bond that you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
But
so now is not a time to apply for a bond?
Yes.
Until things stabilize.
Typically, yes, it's not. Yes, yeah. It's not a good time to apply for a bond. However, we live by faith. So I say, if you really want to get it, I always say, do it now.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do anything good, do it now and to go out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I have five principles that I say to everyone who wants to buy a bond, whether you do it now or you wait.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you need to clear your record. Number one.
Mm-hmm.
So get your credit score on points.
Mm-hmm.
So that will probably mean also you go check. I think TransUnion do it for free right now on the internet. So you can put on your details. They'll tell you, and then you can they'll show you everything that you've had accounts on this. You've got had loans on this. This is the credit that you had, and this is what your score is. The score is important because that's what the bank will look at.
Mm-hmm.
So number two would then go to the different institutions and ask them how much are they willing to give you to purchase a house.
Mm-hmm.
So they're also going to, the reason why number one is important.
Because the bank is going to do that.
Look that, and that's how they're going to determine that amount.
Mm-hmm.
So you go there, they say, oh, no, Father Brian, we're going to give you, we can give you a million, giving everything you say.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is when you go shop, don't look for a house that's a million, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, don't look for a house that's more than 3 times your salary. They say 3 times. I, with the conservative, with the person who's risk averse, I say twice your annual salary. So you, let's say, you hypothetically are making 50,000 rand a month. I mean, a year. 50,000 rand a year. That's your annual package.
Oh my gosh.
So you wouldn't, you would look for a house that's 150, not between 100 to 150, nothing more, even if the bank says they'll give you a million. Because then there's also, remember, those other costs. So number three is also budgeting. So budgeting means you remember there's this cost that are involved. So your registration, your bond registration cost. And then, so you budget, how much are you willing to pay? How much can you do this? And then I always say number four is give yourself practice time to practice. So ideally, and that also helps you to save for the upfront cost. So number four would be then, I say, so you know that you're going to look for a house that's have like around 150,000, let's say that. Your bond is going to be, from what the institutions have said, they're going to make you pay, let's say, 2,000 rand a month. So you then you're at the area that you're looking at, rates are rates and levies go to 2.5, hypothetically speaking. I say give yourself 3 to 6 months before you even purchase the house to put to pay that bond and those levies to yourself into a savings account. So for the next 3 to 6 months, pay the 2.5 that you would that you're gonna pay, including everything else, and see if you're gonna cope. Because one of the things that people don't talk about is that. That you actually, and that's what shocks you, because then there's other extra cost, and then also on top of the 2.5, you need to have actually other cushion money, because like I said, owning a house is actually like having a baby. When hail comes, when things so sometimes insurance takes time, and you can't have a house with no windows, for example. So you need to fix that yourself. There's things that the insurance won't cover. So you need to fix that yourself. You can't say, hi, landlord, this has happened. You need to take care. So you always have to have that.
If I take a bond, would I be able to say, look, I've taken a bond and I cannot continue with the bond, and I would like to sell it, or no, I'm fed up? And what happens in that case?
Yes, you can do that. In fact, that's actually when I bought my first property, that was the mentality I went with. I was just like, I'll go if I can't afford, and then if something happens and I can't cope, I'll just go back and be like, I can't. So you can't do that. It's obviously not ideal, because if you sell within the first year, there's nothing that you make. And ideally, you shouldn't be making a loss if you've been making your payments. But yes, so you can do that, and there's nothing wrong with that.
What happens in that case? Do they refund you your monies or what?
No, there's no monies. No, chances are you wouldn't have even scraped the surface, because you would still be paying the interest in that first year. The first 5 years, you're only paying interest in the bond, which is going to my tip number five. So if you are going to take a bond, make sure that if the bank wants you to pay a bond of 2,000 rand a month, put something extra, even if it's just 100 rand. And just every time as your finances increase, add that money. The rule of thumbs is, make sure that you pay your bond payments. So let's say you get a house for 150, like you said. Make sure that you pay the full 150 within 8 years. That way, the calculations go down. That if you pay within 8 years, then you don't pay any cents of interest. So if you put that extra, because the bank will just ask the minimum. And the minimum is obviously going to be nice. Because it's affordable to you. But then the affordable, that comes with the interest. So that's why then I say buy a house. Because if you then buy a house, then but have it within the intention of making sure that you pay it within 8 years. And then you don't have, then they don't pay any interest.
And so it's different strokes for different folks, clearly, and depending on what your finances are. And if you're a young person who's not yet settled, perhaps maybe now is not the time and you don't want to get another second property, you just want to invest. So perhaps
if you're a young person and you wanna, and you obviously looking out, and you I'm here in Joburg, if something greener pastures in terms of my career comes by, and let's say Cape Town, I'm willing to move, then maybe not. And because there's so many, there's the cost, then it's going to be counter the investment. But however, I also always say that if I'm a young person right now, and I am, even if I am willing to move, I can rent wherever I want to stay, and then buy property which I don't necessarily want to stay in, but that I can rent out. And then with the intention, though, if you're going to do that, then your plan must be always to pay that bond up. So mm-hmm. your rents plus you add extra onto that rent, mm-hmm. so you make sure that you still pay it in 8 years. Because at the end of the day, property is a very safe
it's a good investment.
It's very conservative. You have to have the patience for it, mm-hmm. but you will get the returns.
It's very important, clearly, to speak to a financial planner before you jump into these things, because then you can see what you earn and how you can work. Because there are people whose salaries, probably 3/4 of their salaries, go to their bonds. So, is it because we bite too big, or
yes.
What is the rule of thumb? I hear people say your car should not be more than your house.
Yes. You can't have a car. First of all, is an expense. Mm. So you can't have an expense that's more than your assets.
Mm.
Number one. So an asset is something that you can, if you own, that is of value to you. An expense is something that you spend on and that depreciates.
Mm.
So the minute you drive out of the car dealership, that the car value is already a few percentage down,
mm-hmm.
whereas the house appreciates. So mm-hmm. it doesn't make financial sense for you to buy a house that's more than your value. I know typically they say that at least it must not be more than 3. So if I have a car that is $200,000,
mm-hmm.
then if I own a house that's $900,000, then mm-hmm. the car that I drive should not be more than $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
So a third of the property.
In other words, Mahlaleko back room, you cannot have, say, a 5 series.
No. It does not make financial sense, because if you are paying, for example, 10,000 rand a month for a car,
mm-hmm.
you might as well be paying that into a house or something that you can actually own.
Okay. All right. And any tips, rounding off tips?
I think I've covered everything, but I think what's more important, people that forget, is to make sure that they pay off those bonds, and you must add. Because if you don't add onto that bond payments,
mm-hmm.
then it's a loss.
Wow.
Then it's a loss.
Wow.
Just make sure that you pay those that extra,
mm-hmm.
and budget to pay the 5,000 rand a month. And also, don't be scared to just pay purchase something that's just less than what the bank is willing to give you, because that goes the long way. There's so many other costs that comes with owning a house.
Wow. That's it, folks. That's Yena Kuboni, our resident financial wellness coach. And thank you very much on your maiden presentation. And we look forward to having you back in studio, same time, same place. And we look forward to your wisdom and to making our listeners financially savvy.
Thank you, Brian. It's a pleasure.
That's it, folks, from myself, the afternoon team, and everybody involved in the production. Have a good weekend. Be blessed and be safe.